We're back here to the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment, and I'm excited to welcome the program David Lipper. We all know him from Full House, and now we're going to talk about Just Swipe. How are you, man? Thanks for stopping by. What's going on?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And yeah, Just Swipe is coming out just in time for Valentine's Day and probably the perfect Valentine's movie. We've been wondering, I think all of us in this pandemic, what is the positive we can take out of this thing? And that's a tough question to ask because we're so focused on everything that has happened to us, right? We have to wear masks. Things have changed. We can't relate to people the same way. We can't work the same way. We can't. But what can we do? What have we learned? What's interesting about Just Swipe is it really answers that question, and it does it from the point of view of a romantic comedy, in that maybe we have been going about this whole love thing the wrong way. We have become this society of empowered women, along with, you know, empowered men, right, who think, hey, this is the way to go. I'll meet somebody online. We'll go to a bar. We'll have a few drinks and we'll hit the sack when we get home.
And that's true.
And you see that in the beginning of the movie with Jodie, the way she was pre-pandemic. But we've lost something. We've lost this time of courting. We've lost this time of getting to know people. This friendship that builds before we get intimate. And, you know, guilty as charged, that is just the way we've evolved. And so maybe nature corrects itself sometimes and forces us to rethink the way we've been doing things. And so what this movie really takes a good look at is what happens when we are forced to change the way we've been dating. And because of the quarantine that we were under, these two people are forced to get to know each other online before they ever meet. And perhaps two people that never would have given each other a chance because of the stereotypes of the way we're supposed to look and the affluence we're supposed to have in order to be in a certain league to date. And so I'm hoping people watch this movie and take a good hard look at that and say, you know what? I'm going to get to know this person a little better because the way I've been doing it hasn't exactly worked out.
Yeah. So, and that's a great point you're making, is the fact that we as a society have chosen to forget that we're just going to go in this process that we can't trust anyone. Everybody's online. So a lot of it's online dating, never even getting to the physical dating. Right. And then they just want to speed up the process instead of finding your soulmate. And this, and I think it goes to a level of, I'm in my 40s, but in the 30s, that this dating's totally a different animal. And so you feel this film kind of educates in a way to say, why have we become where we are? It sounds like to me, if you're giving a more of a philosophical view of this, right?
I mean, I'm a deep thinker. So for me,
I like that. That's cool. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Because I looked at my own dating history, you know, and I say, well, really, what's it been like for me? Do I physically connect with somebody first and then get to know them? Or have I gotten to know them and then physically connected? And the answer seems to be, yeah, I guess I've jumped into the physical way too early before getting to really know the person. And then all of a sudden you're 6 months into the relationship and you're like, oh my God, she's crazy. And, you know, had I gotten to know her a little first, I would have learned that. And the other thing is, once you're involved on that level and you're intimate with someone, you start making excuses for the bad behavior, right? You start saying, well, maybe it was a one-time thing. Maybe it wasn't, you know, maybe she was just stressed, or you start doing all that stuff because you're already so emotionally involved, because when you're physically intimate with someone, it certainly does heighten all that. So I think there's a lesson to be learned here. And the way it used to be is there was a courting period and you would take somebody out and you wouldn't jump into bed. You'd get to know that person and have an emotional and intellectual connection before you ever dreamed of getting intimate. And we've lost that. We've lost that completely. And so I think this kind of goes as a throwback to the old classic romantic comedies, the way they used to be.
When do you think it's happened? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 49 and I think I was that same way at 20. So, yeah. I mean, you know, physical quickly, and then not think about the next repercussions. So I guess you're looking at back to the courting days of the 50s, right?
Right.
And I think because of the pandemic, because so many people are independent now and they have their independent careers and things like that, to fit somebody like yourself, if you're an actor, if you're dating somebody, a woman who's in the corporate world and life, maybe they have kids, you really have to slow things down to get to know them before you go to that next level. And that's challenging because we hate to be alone in life.
Very much so. You know, I look at my parents, you know, they're about to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, 60. And I said, Mom, what's the secret? She goes, I married my best friend.
See, but how do we find
60 years? She married her best friend versus divorce everywhere I look from everyone who
everywhere.
Did it.
And the pandemic has caused it even more. But when I'm saying best friend, how do you define that best friend in so many relationships that don't happen? How do you connect that, you know, the opposites attract? Do you believe that? I can't believe we're really getting a philosophical talk, but that's.
Well, I mean, let's go back to the film. You know, you've got these two people where she sees him and goes, oh no, this is not the guy. This is not the guy I want to date. But he made her laugh. And there was an item that she had a little pet peeve about that all these other guys had gone on the wrong side of, that this guy said exactly the way she feels. And what she learned was this guy was very much like her, very connected to her on several levels. And then the more they talked, the more that she wanted to talk. And the next thing you know, it's 5 a.m. and they haven't stopped talking all night. So I think you'll just know when you connect with somebody on this level where it's just that easy to keep talking to them because you're so connected in the way you see the world, the way you speak about the world. And you realize, my God, this is somebody I'm completely in sync with, versus you can physically be in sync with someone, but completely out of sync and everything else. And that's a strange paradox of us human beings, is that we can actually be that connected on one level and so disconnected on other levels. And I think we're connecting on the wrong level, because the really important one, you know, sex is going to last, well, for guys like me, a few minutes, but for the rest of the world, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes, if you're a stallion, an hour, that's it. Right. But you have the other 23 hours of the day,
right,
to be with this person. And is the most important thing the 1 hour or the other 23 hours? And so I think we've just had it backwards. And so I challenge everybody to look at this pandemic in a positive way and say, we already know what the negatives are. For God's sakes, we hear about it day in and day out from the news. Let's talk about positive change, lessons to be learned, and using that to have a better life going forward. That's all we can do at the end of the day.
No, and that's true. That's all we can do at the end of the day. And you're speaking to me now. You're speaking to me in many different ways. And I'm like, it's so true, because finding the best friend and then finding that best friend that's going to stick with you and understand what makes you happy. Happiness is such an important thing that we don't talk about. We don't talk about happiness. We talk about money. We talk about, you know, sex. We talk about, you know, having a good time. But what about happiness? Is that person truly making you happy? Is that person somebody that when you're sick, you want to be with them? And we've lost that. We've lost that as a society. And I don't know why. And I think even during the pandemic, we've lost it more.
Agreed. And, you know, not everybody is a good person. Not everybody is a nice person. I happen to be both those things. I look for those things in other people. And like I said, I will start to make excuses for people if I haven't gotten into the relationship the right way. And then I realize, my God, I don't even know who this person is. And how did I get here? That's my favorite question. How did I get so involved with this one? How did I get into this
situation? How is there perfection in relationships? That's the question.
Well, there's no perfection.
There's no perfection.
There's no like, but it doesn't mean you have to be with somebody who's mentally ill, you know, who's dangerous and like, you know, not that I'm saying that's happened.
I don't know, David, but, you know, that's for another time.
But yeah, well, I mean, when I think about how I you know, ended up with girlfriends in the past, it's like, yeah, a girl who I thought was stunningly beautiful. That was always like the first go-to, right? Somebody who was sexy, somebody who was beautiful, somebody who triggered feelings in me in that way. And then it was, oh, okay, let's build on that. And maybe you get lucky and you build on that and it turns into something phenomenal and you find out this is a great person all around. But most, I mean, look, I'm a single guy, so I only know one track record, which is it hasn't succeeded. So I'm going to take the lesson of this movie. And I have taken the lesson of this movie, to be quite honest. I have not been out there dating and picking up women and doing past behaviors from my 20s and 30s. And I'm, you know, I'm waiting to meet somebody that I connect with on all levels, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, before I even want to get close to physical. So this movie's had a profound effect just on me. Never mind anybody else. So screw the rest of you. I learned what I needed to learn.
So the profound effect of that is so important, and to find that, but you said there's no perfection. I love hearing that as a single person, you saying
we're human beings,
we are human beings, but so, and we all change, we all evolve. And what are your hopes and dreams, David, at this point in life? Look at this. Where did we go? Well, we'll talk a little more about the movie, but I think it's the movie is going to have a profound effect if it had a profound effect on David. What are your hopes? You know, you had, you know, Full House, you're an actor, you did all these different things. People remember you from different times before. What are your hopes and dreams in your career as an entertainer, and where do you want to go?
Well, first off, it's been the most exciting period of my entire career. Obviously, being a new kid coming out to LA, getting a deal with Warner Brothers, having a couple of pilots that didn't go, and then they put me on Full House was a dream. I mean, that was the top show. It's still a massive show. It's funny. I get these cameo requests like once or twice a week for quite some time now, and it's
yeah. You've not done the cons yet, have you? No. Those coming? Are those coming?
I don't know.
You need the right agent for that. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. But on the cameos, I have only gotten requests for Viper from Full House. I have never had a request for anything to do with any of the 60 movies I've shot since or any of the other TV shows I've started. It's always somebody was a Full House fan and wants to send a note to his wife, which is always weird. My wife had a crush on you 20 years ago. And can you send a cameo? It's like those kinds of things. I'm like, you know, I've done a few things since the Full House. But yeah, it seems to always go back to that. So what a joy, you know, when I got this script and Elizabeth Blake Thomas, who had been my first AD on Deathlink, which is out now, which was the first film I directed. We had developed this relationship of working together, and she said, I've got a great script. You're perfect for the lead. Would you star in this thing and produce it with me? And I said, this is amazing. And the funny thing is Wendy Braff wrote the script, and Wendy is somebody I had gone to college with and had gone to theater camp with. So this was just very serendipitous, okay, how this all came about. And then she said, okay, who do you think should be the female lead? And I said, Jody. I mean, it was literally that fast. I read the script and my brain just went, Jody.
That's great.
So I reached out to her. Obviously I've known Jody for a long time. And we also share the same manager, Rachel Rothman. So I said, Rachel, let's make this happen. And she's like, Jody loves the script, so let's work it out. And we did. And the rest is history. And I can't imagine a better suited person to play this. You know, Jody is one of those super underrated comedic actresses. I mean, I say underrated. Obviously, she's had a massive career with Full House and Fuller House. But I don't think people have quite given her the critical recognition they should, because when you see this movie, you realize just how good she is at playing it honestly, and yet being very funny. The strange thing is, the paradox is that the funniest people are truly the most honest actors. Right. You know, it's not the ones that you have the slapstick comedians that can do all kinds of funny faces and accents and things. But when somebody is that honest and true to the character, it just actually makes them funnier. So I give her all the credit in the world, and I'm just so happy that worked out. And it's a little strange because obviously I was the boyfriend of the older sister, Candace Cameron, who played DJ. And all of a sudden I'm the love interest now of Jody, the younger sister. But I think Full House fans will get a big kick out of this to see the two of us together.
Now, with everything coming in the news with Full House, with Bob, what were your thoughts with the passing?
I mean, yes, it's been a difficult time, and we've all been inundated with questions about Bob and sound bites, and obviously Jody and the guys who've been there for the 8 years, more so than me, who was just the last season. But I can tell you that Bob was a tremendous human being. Mm-hmm. He was just a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, I had a moment on the show where a personal matter had come up and I needed the day off. And the producers were like, no, you got to, you know, we used to tape with the twin boys on Thursdays, right, and then the live audience on Fridays. And I needed that Thursday off. And they're like, David, we have to tape you in that scene with the twins. And so I went to Bob and I said, Bob, here's my situation. Can you help me? And he said, David, you're not working Thursday. I'm going to take care of it. And he went straight to the producers and they said, you will not work him on Thursday and you will give him the day off. And they eventually did. So Bob really had my back. I certainly considered, it was strange because really the bulk of my scenes were with John Stamos because we were in the band together.
Right.
And of course with Candace Cameron, but somehow Bob and I truly became close. There was a whole period there where we used to go out a lot together. And then
you can't tell me those stories.
You know, Bob, always, I never saw Bob that drunk or anything like that.
No,
like,
I wasn't saying that. He's a good time.
We'd been to several, I'd been out at several clubs and tables and whatever. Bob was always so composed. So I have no scoop for you on Bob.
I was saying in that way, David, I don't want to tell about my days in pro wrestling when I was traveling and going out. And I'm sure you have stories as well, David.
Oh, believe me, was Friday. We went out for dinner and now it's Sunday. I'm in Vegas.
Exactly.
I had too many of those.
I don't want to start about those stories, meaning I'm just saying, Bob, that you have a good time as a comedian. Let's jump back. Not that at all for Bob. No, I just was wondering, you know, you see different sides of him.
Let's just say, you know, I'll just leave it with this one thing too, which is a lot of fans reached out to me. And it's important to say this because I heard it from a lot of them that they were grieving too. And they wanted it to be understood that they felt they had lost a father. And right. I never fully understood that until this happened. And I started getting these messages and felt the grief that people were sharing with me, saying that it felt like they lost their dad because they grew up with him as like a second dad. So I've seen it firsthand, just in, like I said, the people who've reached out to me, the fans who've reached out. So just for the people out there listening who are grieving, I just know that I sympathize and empathize with you and I understand how you feel. And you guys are all going through this just like we are.
Now let's talk about, I think you bounced this question. You talked about Just Swipe, how this is such a great opportunity for you, but what about, I said your goals, if you were going to meet somebody to date and they wanted to focus on your hopes and dreams the rest of your career, what would that be? That's what I'm asking. So is it going to be behind the camera or in front of the camera?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Okay, so great question. I mean, obviously, I am about to shoot my 8th movie now. I'm off to Mississippi tomorrow to shoot Hunt Club. This is going to be my 8th film since the pandemic started. It's been an insanely torrid pace for me. And that's because I started producing. So somehow I segued into this second job of producing and directing. You know, I directed 2 films in the last 2 years and I'm about to direct 2 more. So what does all that mean? I don't have a clear answer for you because I'm an actor always. And so I'm never going to stop acting. I'm obviously going to keep doing roles in these films. I'm just not going to be able to be the lead guy when I'm directing and fully producing like this because it's just too much work. So that's why on Hunt Club, I did not give myself the lead role. On Hunt Club, you know, I actually hired a director on this one because, you know, I can't do it all. And as much as I like to think I can, it is a lesson I've learned the hard way. So the answer is I have a lot of movies coming out. Wolf Mountain, the second feature I directed, is going to come out this year. I just finished it yesterday in time to leave tomorrow. We have a bunch of other films. Painted Beauty's coming out. Underdogs Rising is coming out. My Favorite Girlfriend, the movie I produced, will be coming out. A lot of movies coming out in 2022. And I'm shooting six movies this year. That'll probably be coming out in 2023. So
I'm gonna stay in touch, because if you're looking to promote those, I'm happy to help you in that and come on.
Let's absolutely stay in touch, because these things are going to keep coming out and I want people to keep knowing about
it. Okay. So I love your energy. It's fun. And I don't know if you thought you'd get into philosophical. I'm a former educator, former professional wrestler, as I told you, entrepreneur, top 16 celebrity podcast in the world. My show's ranked higher than Shaq and also Snooki. So
higher than Snooki.
Yeah, yeah. So
the fact that we even have to say that.
Exactly. Why should we? Points.
I want to tell you something. I completely admire and respect that. And we have this stigma that you can only do one thing. You have to be a producer, or you have to be a director.
The niche works for certain people. It sure as hell doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I don't like this in a box thing. So I do a few things and I only do them if I do them well. And if I don't do them well, I get out of it.
So tell me what stuff you've done, David, since Full House, just for my own understanding before I go to the IMDb or Wikipedia on that. So tell me.
Okay. So let's just talk about what's come out recently. Even Reboot Camp. So proud of this movie. We won the Austin Film Festival. We won the New Jersey Garden State Film Festival. We won Maui. We won about three other festivals. Every festival we've been in. And we're 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. We're 4.5 stars on
Amazon. That's gonna be a great movie to watch. Anytime you're 88% Rotten Tomatoes, go figure.
Ed Begley Jr. It's a mockumentary. I play a French Canadian guru who talk like this. And I've got Ja Rule playing himself, Eric Roberts playing himself.
Oh my gosh, I've had Eric on my show. Eric's awesome. He's a great guy. I was so intimidated when I was ready to interview Eric Roberts because of his roles, but I interviewed him with
nicest guy.
Nicest guy in
the world. I've got to go way back. This is not our first film together. And this is the thing. I pick up the phone. I call these people. They're my friends. I called Ed. I called Eric. And I said, guys, I need a favor. Come by for a day. Come by for 2 days. And then Lindsay Shaw from Pretty Little Liars, Maya Stoyan, Eddie McClintock, one of my good friends, is great in this. So we put an all-star cast together. And the whole premise is that my wife had left me for a self-help guru. And so I decide to blow it open and I'm going to shoot a documentary as playing a fake guru that people come to work with. And the problem is this thing takes off. All these celebrities start coming and then I don't know how to stop it. And I start believing my own thing, which is probably how so many of these cults have started. Really good movie. Really funny. I really I hope people find that. It's on all the platforms. So that's out. Of course, Death Link, I mentioned before, the horror film I directed with Jessica Belkin, Matt Wright.
Where is Death Link available? Is that available?
Death Link is on all platforms. Also iTunes, Amazon, Fandango, all those TVODs, as they call them, the transactional VODs. The Christmas film that I wrote and starred in is on the CBC streamer called Gem, and it's in Canada right now. It'll be airing this Christmas here in the US. It just made it in time for the Canadian run. And of course, Just Swipe. The reason we're here, we're talking about now, it's coming out on Tuesday. It'll be on all platforms. And I really, really hope people run to see this movie. You know, and one person I really need to also highlight from this film is Alec Mappa, who I think steals the show, who's hysterical is the best friend. And Alec is one of those guys who has been not only getting rave reviews from critics and fans, but other huge comedic actors. You know, he starred in this pilot from the creator of Modern Family with Alec Baldwin and Kelsey Grammer, and he played the third roommate. And it hasn't happened yet. Obviously, there's been some things that have happened in Alec Baldwin's life. And so the show is not going forward right now. But Alec Baldwin did say that Alec Mop is the funniest man he's ever worked with. And that's a guy who's won probably more comedy Emmys. Him and Kelsey Grammer combined have won more Emmys than anybody on the planet. So that is, you know, that's the level of Alec Mop. So I just wanted to highlight him because I think people are really going to have a good laugh with his character.
We could tell you're always moving as a director, especially if it's your own projects, and making sure you know how to promote, because you got to go and get funding for films, especially when they're independent films. And it's an exciting time. And I think you're doing your passion and loving your passion. I'm very impressed by you for sure. And it's been a fun conversation. So Just Swipes available. When is it? Valentine's
Tuesday.
Day?
Coming out this Tuesday. Obviously, Valentine's Day is the big date that we hit in the story itself. It all kind of comes together on Valentine's Day, but it's being released, you know, they always give it a few weeks before the holiday. So it's coming out this Tuesday on all the platforms. iTunes especially is a great place to go. Do a pre-buy there. You can get a discount probably on that. Amazon and all the major platforms.
Well, fabulous. Great conversation. I cannot wait to continue to see the growth of your career as it continues to grow. And maybe you'll find the love of your life, especially if they believe in your passion, because it's going to be hard to date you, right? Because you're always on
impossible. Set. I know. I believe
you're
me.
Always
I get
on
it.
Set. You got to find somebody.
And
that's
I'm always
cool
working
with that.
Yeah.
They hope maybe they'll be working on something with you. Who knows? That's where it's going to come. And you guys become this power couple that grows the movie industry. Who knows?
You're making a shidduch, as they say. You're going to hook me up with somebody, my other half.
You never know. We're going to have to hang out sometime, especially in LA, and we'll hang out. I'm 6'10" legitimate too. So you'll have fun time coming out with
not
me.
Not playing basketball with you.
Or pro wrestling. All right. So I appreciate you, man. Oh, that's good.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me on, Neil.
All right. Listening and watching the Neil Haley Show. And we'll be back in just a moment.